Nature in relation with man in Wordsworth. Nature and man in Wordsworth. Wordsworth had his passion for nature fixed in his blood, absorbed De Quincey. It was a necessity of his being like that man of Maulevrier, leaf to the silkworm, and through his commerce with nature did he love and breathe. Hence it was from the truth of his love that his knowledge grew. If Wordsworth has a favorite subject, it was nature, and when he treated of man, it was essential in relation to nature. It was the love of nature, and that led him to the love of man. In the words of Pater, Wordsworth approaches the spectacle of human life through nature. When he thought of man, it was as in the presence and under the influence of effective natural objects and linked to them by many associations. This theme of the influence of nature on man is the noblest part of Wordsworth's teaching in poetry. Nature is the best educator, and she is ever interested in man and tries to impress human mind from its earliest dawn. I believe that nature oftentimes, when she would frame a favored being from his earliest dawn of infancy, doth open up the clouds as at the touch of lightning seeked him with great visitation. Wordsworth's treatment of nature is different from that of other poets. Nature in Wordsworth's poetry is not regarded as a background for his pictures of man, nor as earlier poets has also somewhat shown it as mere mirror reflecting the feelings of man, but rather as wonderful power around us, claiming and influencing our souls. None before him had seen in nature what Wordsworth could find in her. He looked at nature as a mystic of the old days, read the page of holy writings. An essentially Wordsworthian feature of his treatment of nature is an intense spirituality. Read below what he speaks of nature. She can so inform that mind that is within us, so impressed with greatness and beauty, and so feed with lofty thoughts, neither evil tongues, rash judgments, nor the success of selfish men, nor greetings where no kindness is, nor all the daring intercourse of daily life, shall ever prevail against us or disturb our cheerful faith that all which we behold is full of blessings. This similar idea is beautiful and effectively expressed in these lines. Dust as we are, the immortal spirit grows like harmony in music. There is a dark, invisible workmanship and that reconciles discordant elements, makes them cling together in one society. In the same poem and the same book also read, wisdom and spirit of the universe, thou soul, that art of the eternity of thought, that givest to forms and images a breath and everlasting motion. Wordsworth insists that through contact with nature, the heart is exalted and made happy. Such happiness and exaltation is moral, and in such a moral condition, the heart can do no wrong. Wordsworthian nature and Wordsworthian man appear profoundly keen. How does nature teach? Let man react his sensibilities to the beauty of the sunset, the quiet dark night, the fragrance of flowers, the calm strength of mountains, and the freshness of that vernal wood, and he will be possessed of peace that would lend a color to his life. This thought is all that Wordsworth writes. At the sight of the rainbow, his heart leaps up with exultation. The daisy will repair it with gladness. With the daffodils it dances, the meanest flowers that bold blues can give way to the thoughts too deep for tears. This is the mystical conception of nature of Wordsworth. For this, we have to approach nature in a mood of passive receptiveness. He called nature the north, the guide, the guardian of my heart, and soul of all my moral being. His theory of nature based on personal experience. The poetry of Wordsworth, says Herbert Reed, is heavily charged with personal quality. He writes of that which he had experienced in his own life. Nature has educated him. She had uplifted him to a life of peace and delight. In the prelude of his thoughts, to more than infant softness, giving me among the fretful dwellings of mankind a foretaste, a dim earnest of the calm that nature breathes among the hills and groves. He tells us, a child I had unconscious intercourse with the eternal beauty, drinking in a pure organic pleasure from the lines of curling mist. And further, the earth and common fish of nature speak to me rememberable things. And nature, by extrinsic passion, first peopled my mind with beauteous forms and grand, and made me love them. The passages have no two meanings. The poet addresses the presence of nature in the sky and on the earth, who have employed these agencies to hunt him among his boyish sports. Here is the poet who had been brought up in a natural surroundings. It was my joy to wander half the night among the cliffs and the smooth hollows. And in these night wanderings I was alone, says Wordsworth in the Prelude, Book 1. I heard among the solitary hills low breathings coming after me, and sounds of undistinguishable motion, steps almost as silent as the turf they trod. These are mystical experiences he had. His faith in the formative influence of nature continued to be what it was in his early years. But he received in the impressionable period of his life continued to be his love, continued to be his forever. Wordsworth has written some of his greatest poetry of man, some of the greatest poetry of nature. He's a poet of man alone, facing the sublimities of the simplicities of nature, of man or a woman who are portion of these simplicities. Man in society, in cities and the state, he knows them. As a poet, he doesn't know them. The best in man comes out during his companionship with nature. In fact, nature has the power to draw out from within us those hidden powers that go to build what we essentially are. Latent is made manifest through contact with nature. Nature is all-pervading and universal mind, which is also pervading, is ever in an established relation with nature. This fact has been realized by Wordsworth in the way in which no one else has so far realized it, and nor will ever do so.